You're on the record with KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.
I'm Marcy Silliman. Hey, Ross, Congress reconvened today. It looks like it's going to be all Syria all the time, at least this week. That got us to wondering,
why are our lawmakers pushing back other important issues, like dealing with the debt, like immigration reform, to debate Syria?
Basically, why can't Congress do more than one thing at one time?
So to get an answer, we turn to longtime congressional observer Andrea Seabrook, founder of Decode DC. You might know her from her days as NPR's congressional correspondent. Andrea, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
You know, there are more than 500 lawmakers, dozens of committees. Why can't they seem to work on Syria, the debt crisis, immigration reform, and lots of other issues at the same time? Where's the bottleneck?
Well, the bottleneck is the Congress itself, I think the political process itself. I mean, there are a bunch of different answers to that question. One is that there's kind of a sort of war fever that is building up in Washington, and that may be a little strong to say, but when Washington gets into the question of using the military, authorizing the president, especially given the events of the last 10, 15 years, it's all-consuming at both the media and the Congress itself. It feels a little bit like the days running up to the Iraq War in that way, though, you know, the situation is somewhat different. But then, remember, when you're a politician and you have to be reelected, or at least you think you care a lot about being reelected, the least risky move is always to not vote or to not have to vote on something, but to just say you're for or against it. So you don't actually have to go on the record, and you can just use, you know, you can just talk. And so when they're divisive and very important issues on the table, such as the loss of funding through sequestration, which affects everything, immigration, you know, all the things that you mentioned, there's this sort of inertia. There's a force pushing against actually doing anything there. And then remember, these people have a goal, most of them, of raising $10,000 a day for their reelection campaign. And so we may think they're working on Congress all the time, but oftentimes their real serious full-time job is getting reelected.
Well, maybe that's our mistake, is in thinking that they're doing their congressional work all the time. But still, I can't quite understand, if there are committees and Congress members working on the debt crisis, working on immigration reform, do they just call off all their meetings because this impending Syria issue is coming up? Do they just stop working on these other things?
Well, no. I mean, there's a professional staff who do very good work on all the committees, and they are still chugging along on these issues, and they probably are very happy that they're outside of the limelight for a little while, because they can actually talk to each other and get some work done without every single proposal or thought being picked over for news. But it's true that when Syria comes up and the congressmen themselves see that it's the news of the day and they make the news of the day, then yes, things sort of get wiped away. Another factor that you have right now is that they just took August off, all of Congress, the House and the Senate, as they do every year, and things are slow to sort of get started again with hearings and, you know, serious policy work when they come back from August. So it's, you know, there's that inertia as well.
Now, Andrea, what I'm hearing you say is that the news cycle itself is in some sense playing a big role in setting the congressional priorities.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the great ironies in Washington, and something that I personally find very disappointing, that, you know, the lawmakers get up and consume all of the news media and decide, oh, well, and see what the news of the day is, and then go out and act on that and release press releases and talk and so on. And then the press looks at what they say and what they talk about and everything and decides from there what the news of the day is. So it's this giant echo chamber that, in the case of a buildup to possible military action, I think can be dangerous and can lead to less than calm and rational, you know, overviewing of events, of facts and things like that. You know, as I said, it creates this kind of war fever, where that's all that anyone's talking about. So Everything else goes away.
But Andrea Seaburk, I'm wondering, right before the break happened, they were talking about the momentum for immigration reform. And in fact, what was on the top of a lot of people's agendas was the debt ceiling and the impending deadline for figuring all that out and threatening to defund Obamacare. So does all of that then get decided in a heartbeat if we're going to spend all our attention on Syria now?
No, I think in the case of both the debt ceiling and immigration, there is a large group of people, mainly in the House of Representatives, mainly the more conservative Republicans, who have a huge incentive not to act on both of them. In the case of immigration, because they're becoming a minority, they're against, you know, legalizing any sort of undocumented workers in the United States, and so they want to just throw any monkey wrench into the works that they can so that nothing happens. On the case of the debt ceiling, most of the Republican Party in both chambers of Congress would like to ratchet down spending altogether. And so the incentive for them is to not act on, you know, sequestration and funding, because the more they don't, or the less they act, the less money that can be spent. And so you have this real push against actually doing the work, the daily work of the Congress, at a time when there's this other thing sucking all the, you know, the oxygen out of the room.
Well, let's talk one more second about the oxygen sucking that's going on. I know the president is scheduled to speak to the nation tomorrow night at 6 p.m. our time. We'll be carrying that speech live. What are we going to see in Congress this week?
Harry Reid, the majority leader of the Senate, just this morning announced a plan for a vote on Wednesday on the Senate floor. Senators have already begun to come out onto the floor and make statements, and so we're starting to see people, you know, both talk about how they are going to vote on Wednesday, but also those who are saying, in deference to the president and the seriousness of this matter, I'm going to wait and see what the president has to say tomorrow, and for, you know, from the White House. This morning, the press corps was
Andrew. I'm sorry to jump in. We're just out of time right now. Oh. Love to talk more with you about this, so maybe we'll follow up. Andrew Seaburk, founder of Decode DC, NPR's former congressional correspondent. Thanks for joining us on The Record.
It's my pleasure. W-A-S-H-I-N.